Good morning, brothers and sisters. I'd like to welcome our visitors. You are our honored guests. I'd like to thank the elders for the opportunity to present to you what I've prepared this morning. Before we get started, let us go to prayer, please. Dear gracious Heavenly Father God, thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunities that you bestow on us each and every day of our lives as we keep our eyes focused on thee, Heavenly Father. Help us to always honor and glorify thee in the manner that you expect us to, Heavenly Father. Help us to open thy word. Help us today as we study thy word, soften our hearts. Help us to properly keep thy word in context so then we can properly apply it in our lives. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for blessing us with all the spiritual blessings that we find in your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his blessed name that we pray. Amen. If you would open your, if you don't already have your Bibles open to Leviticus chapter 10, and you have to forgive me, I'm not emotional. My allergies have flared up on me. And Leviticus chapter 10, there's three principles that I like for us to consider this morning as we read God's word. And those three principles are: one, do not do more than God has authorized. And number two is, do not do less than God has authorized. And never, ever substitute anything for God's standard. Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 3, as our brother read, I'd like to read again. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord has said. Among those who are near me, I will be sanctified, and before all the people, I will be glorified." And Aaron held his peace. Nadab and Abihu were two brothers. They were sons of Aaron. Aaron was the high priest of God. Nadab and Abihu were also Moses' nephews. They chose to be disobedient. They chose to rebel. They chose to offer unauthorized fire. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. Some versions may say profane. Some versions may say strange fire. You can even say that Nadab and Abihu, they rebelled against God's standard. In essence, they committed sin. I can't help but think of the principles that we spoke about just earlier that I ask you to keep in mind. In verse 3 of our reading, among those who are near me, I will be sanctified, and before all the people, I will be glorified. Nadab and Abihu failed to keep God holy, to sanctify him, to glorify them. They failed in honoring him. They failed in honoring God, God's way. The word that we find holy and sanctify in is, the Hebrew word is to set aside as something, someone special. They treated God like he was not special. And you wonder, well, Did Nadab and Abihu not know how to draw near to God, how to approach God? As I said earlier, they were the sons of Aaron, the high priest. If you would, turn with me to Exodus, the book of Exodus, chapter 28, verse 1. Exodus 28, verse 1. Here we have God instructing Moses to take Aaron and his sons with him, that they may minister to him in the office of priests. If you're here this morning, Brother Albert, our elder, the adult class, we spoke about in the Old Testament about priests, the priesthood and priests, and then how it applies to us. It was very apropos, kind of like we almost coordinated. But isn't it true, God's word? It just flows. It's not part of my lesson. I'll try to, but it just fascinates me. Just always surprises me that God's word, and I guess it shouldn't, it just ties itself so well together. Exodus 28:1. Then bring near to you Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the people of Israel, to serve me as priests. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. So there we have Aaron's sons that are mentioned. If you get a chance, read on your own time the rest of the chapter. It really is in detail of what is required, or how God wants his priests to be dressed. I would strongly recommend that read. If you would, turn back to Leviticus chapter 9. Leviticus chapter 9. We'll start on verse 7 of chapter 9. Then Moses said to Aaron, draw near to the altar and offer your sin offering and your burnt offering, and make atonement for yourself and for the people, and bring the offering of the people and make atonement for them, as the Lord has commanded. So Aaron drew near to the altar and killed the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. And here, mark this. And the sons of Aaron presented the blood to him, and he dipped his finger in the blood and put it on the horns of the altar, and poured out the blood at the base of the altar. But the fat and the kidneys and the long lobe of the liver from the sin offering he burned on the altar, as the Lord commanded Moses. The flesh and the skin he burned up with fire outside the camp. Then he killed the burnt offerings, and Aaron's sons handed him the blood, and he threw it against the sides of the altar. And they handed the burnt offering to him piece by piece, and the head and the burnt, and burned them on the altar. And he washed the entrails and the legs and burned them, and burned them with the burnt offering on the altar. Nadab and Abihu knew what was required from them to draw near to the Lord. So then I can't help but ask, why transgress? Why go against God's word? If you haven't had the opportunity to read the Family Forum article, it's a brother, our elder Zach, wrote the article. And the article is titled, Striving for Good Spiritual and Physical Habits. And you know, we read in this article about actions and behaviors that become a regular part of our lives. They become routine. These repetitive actions that we decide to do become like second nature to us, and they can develop into habits. I bring this up because I think of the biblical account in Leviticus about Nadab and Abihu. Did these two brothers, these priests of God, did they start to take their duties as just routine, just going through the motions? You know, they were always around articles, holy articles. They handled these articles, these holy articles. They could have taken this privilege, this honor that they had, and taken it for granted. It was a very holy, responsibility that they had, and they should have treated it as so. You know, maybe the duty lost its luster through time. Maybe it lost its awe. And as I'm speaking, I can't help but think about how, like Brother Albert said, in the Old Testament, how does it apply to us in the New Testament? So consider myself, as I was writing this, how do I glorify God? How do I honor God? How do I possibly take things for granted and routine? Leviticus 10:3, I keep going back to it, on part of it, where God's word says, among those who are near me, I will be sanctified, and before all the people, I will be glorified. And I can't help but think of God demands of us to be holy. God has always been a God of order, and he expects his instructions to be followed. If you would turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. We'll start with verse 1. And Samuel said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, Israel. Now, therefore, listen to the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I have noted that Amalek did to Israel in opposing them on the way when they came up out of Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man, woman, child, infant, ox, sheep, camel, donkey." You know, that pretty well, you read this, that sums up what God wants him to do, doesn't it? He's pretty specific. We see words like strike. We see devoted to destruction. We see do not spare them. He tells them kill both man, woman, child, infant, ox, sheep, camel, and donkey. That's pretty clear. All. I encourage you, if you get a chance, to read Exodus 17, chapter 8 and following. And God tells Moses that that he's going to blot out, he's going to annihilate the remembrance of Amalek. Okay, so Saul, verse 1, says that the Lord sent Samuel to anoint him king over the people of Israel. Anointed. He was the anointed one of God. He was in charge. He was to lead his people. The buck stopped with him, so to speak. But what did Saul do? Remember, do not do more, do not do less than God has authorized, and never, ever substitute anything for God's standard. Let's continue reading. 13 through 21 of the same chapter of 1 Samuel. 13. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed be you to the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. So Saul is saying, hey, I did what God told me to do. And Samuel said, What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen that I hear? Saul says, They have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have devoted to destruction. I thought he was the anointed one. He was the one who was supposed to lead, recall? Then Samuel said to Saul, you can just picture the scene. Saul saying, I've completed my mission. It's done. And Samuel is like, what we've read, you know, he can hear the sheep and the oxen. And Samuel says in verse 16, Stop. I will tell you what the Lord said to me this night. And I can't help but read between the lines and see Saul's reply. And he says, And he said to him, to Samuel, Speak. And Samuel said, Though you are little in your own eyes, are you not the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission and said, Go, devote to destruction the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you pounce on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I have devoted the Amalekites to destruction. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the best of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. You know, that's where a lot of times a lot of people find themselves this time and day. This is the fact that they say, we might even find ourselves sometimes, we need to be careful, is saying, I've done what God has commanded me to do. But surely God didn't mean for me to do all that he commanded. And surely he didn't mean for me to do it the way he commanded. You know, God granted me a brain. He blessed me with a brain. I can think for myself. Think of never do more, never do less than God has authorized, and never substitute anything for God's standard. You know, some people think, as long as I'm worshiping, as long as I'm sacrificing to God, God understands if I don't deal with the details. That's wrong. Verse 22, and Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, or in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Verse 23, God says rebellion is sin, for rebellion is as the sin of divination. Today's the first day of the week. It's the Lord's Day. It is a glorious day. And we're instructed how we are to honor and glorify God and how we should draw near to God on this day. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Where is my heart? Where is our heart at this time, at this moment? Where's my mind? Where is our mind? Are we thinking about lunch? You know, are we thinking about the football game that'll be coming up? Are we thinking, did I leave the window down? Are we thinking about tomorrow's presentation before the board's meeting? Or, wow, it's almost deer season in about 25 days or so. And has dove season already opened up, I think. So what are we, you know, you fill in the blank. I hope that we fill that blank with, we're thinking of God, we're thinking of his blessings, we're thinking of his love. I guess if you only have room in that blank for one word, two words, God's love, I hope that's where our mind and our heart is at. He has given us instruction on how to honor and draw near to him and glorify him. How are we to honor and glorify him? We must not allow, I think of Nadab and Abihu, I don't know, maybe the luster, the awe has wore off, I'm not sure. But I do know that we shouldn't allow God's awesomeness, God has revealed to us in his word, and never treat it as routine. I pray that we never do that. Remember, for us to never do more and never do less than God has authorized, and never, ever substitute anything in place of God's word. You know, you remember the family forum we were talking about? It's easy to allow the concerns of this world to kind of just take over our thoughts and our minds. It's hard. And a lot of times, you know, if we're not careful, these routines start to become habits. But you know, not all habits are bad, as we read in the article. Good habits, like daily prayer, 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. Consider one another. Fellowship, Philippians 2, chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. 2 Timothy 2:15, study God's word. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling God's word. Remember Nadab and Abihu? They were surrounded, as I spoke earlier, about those holy articles, and they had witnessed miracles. But yet we know what happened to them. We can easily fall into, like I said earlier, into the routine of life. And we can miss the beauty of our Creator. So many times we go out to get up in the morning because we have our responsibilities. And we get dressed and do whatever it takes to get ourselves out the door. And we go from point A to point B as fast as we can. Do we ever acknowledge God by realizing that it is really bright outside? Wow, it's a beautiful day. It's the sun. The sun that provides so many benefits for our world. Or notice the sunset. Take time to see God's creation and to enjoy the artistry, I say, of God and just the plethora of color. Or the stars. You know, we can see our God, our Creator, in nature. May we never forget to acknowledge God and all His awesomeness every day of our lives as we live our lives on this side of eternity. Keep in mind the ripple effect. Everybody's familiar with the ripple effect, right? Drop a stone in and like a still pond of water, and you see the where the initial hit of the stone, and it's ripples start rippling out. The consequences for bad decisions and the consequences for good decisions you can put on there never fail to affect the people around us. Kind of think of that ripple effect. Nadab and Abihu's disobedience could not go unpunished. Their failure to glorify God and keep Him holy had to be dealt with. Some people think that God was this mean, demanding God in the Old Testament. And then somehow His character has changed since we're under the New Testament and under grace. Remember, never ever substitute anything for God's standard. Grace does not do away with obedience. It is by God's grace that we learn obedience. And it's through our obedience to God that we express our love to Him. If you're not a Christian and you desire to be a child of God, you must hear God's word. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You must believe. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that hath cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You must repent, Acts 17, verse 30 through 31. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He has given assurance unto all men in that He hath raised Him from the dead. You must be baptized, Romans 6, 3 through 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Then we must be faithful unto death. Revelation 2:10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. If you've obeyed the gospel and you've sinned, and you want to draw near to God and repent, or if you just need the prayers of the saints, please come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.